You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. Spirit of God, help us. But we would be reminded of your wonderful person and presence in order to enjoy God in God our Father in all of your fullness. So we're looking to you to deal with us as the raindrops fall. God, looking to you with thanksgiving. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of John chapter 15 at this point, and we've shared together the Lord Jesus Christ is making it extremely important and necessary that the disciples learn to look to him with all their heart for real. And if they don't, like a branch, abide in the vine, if they don't have that required relationship to him, where he is the life, the fullness of life, the allness of life, if they don't understand that and they aren't connected, they can never know and enjoy God's wonderful person and plan. And they need to know that. God is God alone, and there is none other. God, in all of his wonderful creativity, his redemptive saving grace, in all of that is to demonstrate and bring forth his wonderful person. And all of creation is to enjoy that, and to enjoy God, to enjoy the wonderment of God, all the while God being God. He's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Just think of when the Lord Jesus is done at the end of the millennium, he turns around in his perfect humanity, having fulfilled the assignment of redeeming, of God's redeeming grace, and he turns to God in chapter 15, that God might be all in all. God, everywhere, in everything, at all times. Why? Because he alone is God. And you can't enjoy the creativity of God, the creations of God, apart from God. How can you? The glory of anything is God himself in his most wonderful person. So God, that's what you're trying to help them understand. They need to understand that. We need to understand that. Because that's what it's about. So when God wants it all, he has it all anyway. You realize that. Every particle of dust, let alone every piece of flesh that you have, all the cells in your body, the trillions of them, whatever. Wow. They belong to God. Our whole stay here on earth is God's doing from start to finish. Therefore, when he says you've got to abide in me, and I'll read it instead of saying it, John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, this branch, as the branch cannot, is not able to bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. In other words, you can't ever enjoy the wonderful purpose. You are you persons, remarkable. You're all remarkable. But you cannot enjoy and understand the remarkableness of your being apart from God. What makes you remarkable? God does. That's what makes you remarkable. Now, having said that, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, you're going to go, and we have to have a unique relationship to you, like the vine and the branch, which we've sought to do. That's a very personal, the branch doesn't have anything. It just chooses to rest in the vine, and the vine provides everything. And fortunately, God is able to save whosoever and change them, transform them into a saved believer. And a saved believer is able to abide in the one they believe. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And we abide in whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who's our Savior. Saved, abiding in the Savior. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, it's important. And without that, nothing's going to happen. Zero. The branch is dead. By that I mean it has no life. It has no attachment to life. It has nothing. It's just a branch. It's a wonderful branch. But it has nothing. It can't have anything unless it abide. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, on your way. Before you do that, let me illustrate if I can. Here's a glove. A glove. Just a glove. And it's a glove, probably a $50 glove for all I know. Wow. Fancy glove. It's a glove. Now, if I gave this to a kangaroo, would you tell me what good this would do the kangaroo? Blow his nose, maybe. It's no good to the kangaroo. Who's it good for? Well, you could say, well, so and so and so and so, but when you're all done, the glove is made, designed for a specific purpose, and it has to be exercised in order to be the glove that it was made for. It has to fulfill its purpose of why it's designed. A human has to fulfill the purpose of why they're human. Why are we human? Why? For what reason? To eat, to drink, to die, to come, to work, to home, school, garden, fight, war, peace? What's it about? Is that what humans? No, humans are all busy, busy, busy. Humans were made, all of them, 7 billion plus of them, were made for God in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, so the glove, the humans are made for the God. Now, anyone else, you could a rattlesnake, a little one, could go and hide in this. He could do that, but that isn't what the glove's for. And the snake knows, it doesn't even know, it's just a hiding place. Now, the glove is made specifically for the hand. The hand of a human. The glove was made for the hand. You were made for God. You were. That's what you're made for. And when the glove finds the hand, and the hand abides. That's the best I'm going to go. When the hand abides in the glove, it fulfills itself. It can scratch its ear. It fulfills itself. So what are you looking for, God? I'm looking for the hands. I'm looking for the gloves to understand that I made them for my hand. And to the measure that they find my hand, they fulfill their remarkableness. To the measure they don't find my hand, they're just a glove. A wonderful glove, remarkable, but unable to enjoy their remarkableness. Why? Because they don't find God's hand. The hand has to find the glove. The person has to find God. Now, hang on to that. That's what God is trying to communicate to 11 disciples, to all believers in the church age of grace, to get them understand to what, how can they represent Jesus Christ in his wonderful resurrected person, in his wonderful resurrected life. How can they represent him without him? The glove just can't march around and say, well, here I am, whatever. Wonderful, wonderful. And you can say, I have a wonderful Creator and a wonderful God. And all the other gloves line up, and they look at this glove. And this glove says, what a wonderful God and Savior I have. Right? Church. Let's go to church. Using our, where we are. What have we got? Apostasy. It's followed through all the way from history. The church of Acts chapter 2 is not more the church today. And we'll do that first. Over, if you would please, to Revelation and chapter 3, just to refresh our mind. In Revelation chapter 3, you would recall the church age ends, which is where we are now. We're right looking at the finishing of it before the Lord takes it. And chapter 3, Laodicea, and you know it, sliding down to verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, you're neither, neutral, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, I'll vomit you. Because, the reason, thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Think of pride, P-R-I-D-E. Here's the glove. The glove says, I look at kangaroos, I look at mice, and I look at everybody. I can't see angels. I can't see God. So here I am looking around, in my pride, I'm it, evolution, etc. And I'm it, I'm the best there is. And we're going to go and promote it. Now, and that pride is picked up by the people that are sitting in the church in Laodicea, in the building. They have it. We all have it. It's part of our makeup. It's our old nature. And we have it. And we're trying to be something and say we're something. We've evolved, but we haven't evolved as much as we're going to. You can say all that. We aren't evolving very much. So here we are, and we're it. We're it. And we're trying to be, we're the top. And angels and others look, all humans end up looking what? You are just like us. And we'll bury you in the ground. King, potentate, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief will bury you in the ground just like the rest of us. Pride. And we promote it. How can you be? You're just a glove. It's how can you promote? You can't enjoy and show the wonderment of being a human apart from the hand in the glove. You can't do it. God wants to get his hand into the heart of the believer so that he can go what? To show. What? So here we are standing there saved, and we're standing there, and we're just a glove like everybody else, but we have a wonderful, wonderful, remarkable relationship to God in his saving grace to know him and honor him, and in such a way that God is going to honor himself. He isn't going to honor the glove. He's going to honor himself. So the glove is nothing without the hand. God said, without me, nothing. 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 Not going to go anywhere. Well, you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want, do whatever. It's nothing. But I want to, you can imagine and do everything. God said, do you understand? Nothing means nothing. Now, having said that little bit, why? I got the nothing part. You need the allness. The allness of God makes the nothingness of the glove wonderfully, wonderfully remarkable. That's what it's talking about. Unless you abide in me, you can't enjoy the hand in the glove so that I can fulfill. That's why it's all. It's nothing of you and all of God. And you let God have his wonderful way in your life, and God is to have it. And that's what he created you for, to know him. Now, allness, allness. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. It's either my hand's in there or it's not. Either you're going to trust me or you're not. Now, because verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, you're in terrible shape, and you need God's wonderful saving grace. Now, having said that little bit, over to Ephesians. Wow. Ephesians. And chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, may I pick up, please, just a statement. Lock it in to the believing heart. What is God going to do in the glove? What does the hand do in the glove? Use that. The hand in the glove makes what happen? Verse 20. Ephesians 3, 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all, above all, above all, that we ask. We can't ask it. We couldn't understand it. We can't ask, or we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamite, the dynamic, that worketh in us. The love, the glove, in the hand in the glove makes everything and anything possible. Not because of the glove, but because of the hand. The hand gets the glory, not the glove. The hand does. So you say, well, then, how we just think about wonderful in our study in John, in chapter 14, verse 12, 13, 14, in whatever you ask in my name, I can, you do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I can, I'll do it. Well, whatever is an awesome whatever. That's right. You will do more things, verse 12, than I did. But it isn't you, it's me in you. So you don't have to say, well, how can we do more than him? You don't. You can't do anything. It's because of him you do everything. That's why you're thankful, because God is going to outwork his wonderful life as you eat, drink, and do all of those things. One other thing here, and then I'll get to the message. I don't believe that. Probably my watch stopped. I started. It's fast. I don't believe that. Can't be true. I didn't even do anything. I don't know. Didn't even go anywhere yet. Wow. Oh, but 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, just so you have it. But if you get the glove, man, you got a lot to take home. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God, all kinds of ways, this is just one of them. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, notice everything's all, always. Why is it that? Because the hand is always allness of God, and always all God. God is always God in all of his allness. So if God's in it, it has to be. That's the way it is. And so when you turn to him and look to him as the hand goes down, the eating and drinking and work and home and play and school as it goes down, it's trusting him. For what? For God's allness. For God to be all in everything, in every way, shape, form, every way. That's how it's going to be. Therefore, chapter 9, verse 8, what God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every all good work. No, you can't do more than that. The way it is. So there's no, you don't have God give me 2 cents. No, you've got 1,000% of God. Every single second, he's in the hand. That's the way it is. Doesn't make any difference whether you like it or don't like it. Either you have him and say as your Savior, then he resides in your heart. Who resides in your heart? God in Christ. How much of God? All of God. God, here you are. God wants to get the hand. The hand needs to look to God, abide in God. You can't be closer to abide, and to make all of the wonderful things happen. Now, over if you would please. To Abraham. You know, over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis chapter 15, I'm gonna. You're looking at 15, but I'm gonna talk about 12 for a minute. Well, you're close enough. Why not? Turn a couple of pages to 12. Chapter 12. Now, God is taking Abraham, unsaved man, caught up in the world system of idolatry that's out there and everything, and Abraham looks to God and gets saved. Now, so when he looks to God and gets saved, God makes him tell him to leave his family, leave his everything, his background, because all of that's no good. That will only corrupt him. And he has to leave and go to a land to Palestine, to Israel. Now, in doing so, God makes a wonderful, wonderful commitment to him. He said, without doing it, I'll read verse 2, 12:2. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Blessed. God, you mean Abraham has no idea. But if he goes, God is going to make Here's all the people, the nations that existed, Genesis chapter 10. Here they all are. Wow. And you're going to make me a great nation above all nations? And all of the world with all these nations and people are going to be blessed by way of me, by way of my relationship to you? And God said, that's it. God, can you make that happen? Absolutely. Turn a page, chapter 14. And God gives Abraham and his men in the process now. And in the process of that, in Sodom and Gomorrah, remember, God gives Abraham and his men a wonderful, wonderful rescue mission. And he saves them all. Now, when rescues Lot, his nephew, from the kings, and brings him home, etc., as you know. And Melchizedek is going to, he only had, five kings? I forgot, five kings. And Abraham, 318 men or something? That's so funny. And Abraham went and conquered them and took all the stuff, all their goods and booty and spoil, and brought them back with Lot. Now he did that. Now, how could you do that? Well, God did that. That had to be. So therefore, Abraham was blessed because he looked to God. And remember Melchizedek, verse 19, priest after the Most High God, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, Melchizedek, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and gave him tithes of all. And so, God, you did this. That's right. Now, Abraham, has Abraham got John 15? Does Abraham even know about the Lord Jesus Christ yet? No, he doesn't. All he knows is about God. That's what he knows. And God, what are you trying to help Abraham? He doesn't have anything like we do. What are you trying to help Abraham? Abraham has a unique relationship to God. No one, the rest of them out there's Job out there, but etc. Here's Abraham all by his lonesome. Now, and Abraham is God. It looks to God. It believes God. And God is letting God, Abraham's letting God be God. Now, and therefore, remember, he offers them all God blesses them. God blesses him, and God is blessed. God loves being God. Is that all right? God loves being who he is, if you don't mind. He likes being who he is. He doesn't want to be who you want him to be, or I want him to be. He wants to be who he is, and I need to let him be that so I can enjoy him. Wow. And therefore, Abraham, you're pretty sharp for having not much compared to us. And Abraham said, I'm not taking one. Well, read it. Chapter 14 and verse 15. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He owns everything. That I will not take from a thread, even a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is thine, nothing, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham, you aren't going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Nope. No, I'm not going to go. I don't want anything. Nope, God, that's why here's the lottery. The lottery, the win the lottery. You and one 1/7 trillionth of you might win, anyway, in the process. Why don't I have to do that? Why don't I even want to touch it? My Heavenly Father, I don't need the lottery. I need God. And I'm not going to let the lottery or anything else get in my way. I'm going to make it clear to my own heart and to everyone else. God, you are the source of my allness. Got it? No one else. That's how I got this far? That's how you got this far? Wow. Now, so therefore, I'm not going to touch it. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. So Abraham, you got nothing. Oh, no. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, Abraham, what are you learning? And you're learning it. That's right. But boy, you're in the process of learning it. You don't need a whole lot of scriptures or someone encouraging you. You're willing to trust God, period, because he's God. And you know he's God. And you're letting him be God. In your ignorance about God, you're letting him be God. And you're going to learn. And that's what Abraham does. In my nothingness is the allness. Wow. And God, he's my exceeding great reward. And you know Abraham was doing pretty good. And chapter 16, etc., you know, in the process, we're going to come along, Ishmael's going to come along in the process. And Abraham, now, why Abraham? You're straight down the road, but what happens? Well, it's your wife. Your wife said, "Listen, we don't have any children. God promised us a child. We don't have a child. And look at my body. I'm old. I can't do anything. It's all over. All over for me. All over for you, Abraham." So almost. And so therefore, nothing. Abraham, we're promised seed, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. We're all looking for it. So Abraham, and you're the seed of Adam. And so Abraham, you need to go, and I'm going to send my servant Hagar, etc., and we're going to have Ishmael. And Abraham said, "Okay, but Abraham, what'd you do? You took your eyes off God and went down and looked at Ishmael. When you looked at Ishmael, and you had that, and you live with that for at least 13 years. So 13 more years, living with it, 86 years old, and he's going to let 13 more years go by, and he becomes 99, chapter 17, 99. Now, what happened? In 13 years, Isaac, Ishmael has grown up, and in the process, and he likes this Ishmael. But Ishmael isn't what God said. Ishmael is of the flesh. So therefore, 13 years go by. Now guess how Abraham's body is. Well, Abraham's body is 13 years older. At this point, he's 99. And at 99 years, you don't do much. You know, you don't need a nursery and stuff, usually. You don't need all of that. So here's chapter 17, verse 1. And Abram was 90 years old and 9. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." And Abraham is God looking, Abraham's looking to God. That's what he had to do, you know. And like Job, look to God, not his wife. Nothing wrong with your wife. It's just that you don't look to humans. That's all. You're looking to humans. My mother, my father, my wife, my husband, my job, my work. You're looking. That's trouble. You're looking at the wrong people to govern your life. We just didn't think of all the Sunday school way back when we were doing it in our little recipe. What's the first R? R. R is in Roger. Recognize. Recognize that he is Lord. And he is Lord thousands of times. Old Testament, New Testament, the book of Acts, Lord. They all understand he's Lord. He's the boss. There is no other Lord. There is no other boss. And they look to him. Wow. And they did that. Now, here's Abraham. And Abraham is looking to God. And in the process, God is going to go and bring forth at 99, as you know, God is going to bring forth a wonderful, wonderful event of the birth of Isaac. And that wonderful birth is because when Sarah and he could do nothing, I did say that. Sarah and he could do how much at 100? Nothing. God did it all. What did you wait for? John, what do you say in John chapter 15, verse 5? Without me, you can do nothing. I'm waiting for you to realize what a glove is for. I'm waiting for you to realize what I'm for. I'm to be your God and Savior in the glove. I'm waiting. Abraham is now 99 years old. He's been married 25 years in the process. And finally, they get to nothing. And after, when God is all done with nothing, chapter 22, we didn't get very far, but at least a little now. Chapter 22. And Sarah's going to believe, you know, they're all going to believe. And God, what are you going to do? Abraham has Isaac. The child of promise, you were 100 years old, etc. Now what are you going to do? He's grown up, he's a young man. A young, good teenager or so, 18 or so, 19, 15, somewhere in there. And in the process, here's Isaac, and Isaac carries up, it goes up, God tells him, chapter 22, and in verse 1, came to pass after these things that God did tempt, put to the proof Abraham, and said unto him, Abram, he said, behold, here I am, God. He said, now take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, that's Mount Sinai, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I would I want you to go kill him. I want you to go, I have a mountain down in Mount Sinai, and I want you to go and take him up, and I want you to go and kill him. No. Yep, that's what I want. And Abraham said, oh, I've got to talk to my wife about this. I mean. No, he didn't. He was smart enough to keep looking to God. God, if you said it, all things are possible. Even though they seem impossible. Even though they seem stupid. They're all there. Now, therefore, he took him up, as you know, and did all those things. And he went, and even went so far as to raise the knife up. In fact, Isaac carried the wood. We have no record that Isaac said, what are you going to do, Dad? I'm going to kill you. And he said, uh-oh, and he ran. And he could outrun Abraham, I'm sure, and down the rocks, and he took off. But Isaac didn't do that. Isaac just put the wood down in order. I'm sure he helped his father do that. And then he laid down on top of the altar in whatever position he was, laid down on the altar. He had to be laying down. Whether his hands were tied or not, we don't know. But Isaac, why are you doing this? Ah, my father has a relationship to God that is of such a nature, of such a kind, that whatever God said, my father said, do it. Even if it seems absurd, do it. And so, God told my father to take me up to this mountain and kill me. Now, if God said it, my father knows God doesn't make mistakes. And God's in God's wonderful plan and allness, there must be a reason. And I don't want to wait till I'm 95 and my father died to find out about God. So here's Isaac down on the altar, knife is raised to slit his throat. And before the knife can be lowered, you know, there's a noise back there in the bushes, and a ram or whatever is back there, and cries out, and Abraham turns around, and there is the sacrifice. Didn't you see him before, Abraham? How could you miss an animal in the bushes right next to you? Abraham said, I just didn't see him. And God didn't have him there till I raised the knife. And I was willing to kill my son. My son was willing to be killed in God's allness, our nothingness. And therefore, here's the ram. And God provided the ram. What did you want, God? I'll read it. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram. And he said, here am I. And he said, Abraham said, I lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now God, where did that son come from? From God, Isaac. Now God, back to the blessing which we can't get to. We read it in Deuteronomy. God, you're going to bless everything? That's right. Now, what do you want, God? I want you to give me back the blessing. I want you to give me back all that I give you. That's what I want. Do you believe if you gave me back all that I give you, that I can still be and do everything? Ah, do you trust God like that? Huh? I gave him my job once, twice. A great job. Work, that's where you work. You don't know about that stuff. But, you know, that's where you work. I gave it, God. I had IBM and all those different things right in front of me. Wow! And God? I said, no. And then, no. Well, then, no. What do you want, God? I want you to go and learn my word and say a couple of words to people like you of what I have to say. That's what I want. God, I could have had. True. I could have retired, you know. If I was in the Coast Guard, I even could have retired. But God, you didn't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. Nope. Do you understand? Abraham said, whatever, God, you want, I'll give you back my son. Here's the knife. Wow. Now, God, that's what you wanted. And God, are you able to do what? I am. Without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you'll know my allness, my awesome allness that I will be. Every drop of rain, every step you take, I'm there with you. So whatever you eat or you drink, whatever you do for work, home, school, your dishes this afternoon, do that to my honor and glory. Showing the world why you're a human. Does that come out all right? Our Father and God, we thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us. Thank you very much. So God, we just thank you very much. Give safety in the highway and encourage those that we have different things. We think of Ron Hansen in the hospital, and God deal with his body, and it's your body and your everything. So take care of all these different things. God, we're looking to you. Help us to get home if we're to get home, to eat and drink. And if you should tarry and we should live, here we are, even this night, for the baptismal and all of that. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.